Amen. And you know, the same God there is the same God here. Amen. Praise God. And we're blessed. But you know, the difference is we got to let God. Amen. Those guys have their captive audience. But we're so thankful for the blessings of the Lord today. And anybody else want to testify tonight? You got something you want to praise God for? We don't do this often. We do it at prayer meeting, but we don't do it often in regular service. Amen. Stand if you want to testify. Anybody else want to give God praise? And maybe it's a while since you testify. Amen. Anybody else want to give God praise for something in your life? Yes, I'm glad you're alive. Man, anybody else you want to give God praise tonight? Anybody else you want to give God honor tonight? God, so blessed to be in the house of the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, we want to go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is where I want to go to tonight. And it just feels good to feel God this evening. Amen. And it's a busy time of the year. Everybody's prepared. Next Thursday will be graduation here. And it's going to be an honorable time. Brother Dallas Bryant will be the speaker, and we're so thankful for that. It's a good time for guests to come to the house of the Lord. Our next door, we will not be picking up our kids that night. Notice, we just don't want to call them bus kids. They're outreach, children. But a lot of times, they're just bus kids. No, they're not. They're souls that we're trying to disciple. We're trying to help get them into heaven. You just never know who's going to be next. Amen. One of those kids that we pick up could be the next pastor of this church. Amen. We want the Lord to give opportunity to life. So we're going to come next Thursday, have a great service and honor to our graduates. And we're just blessed to be here tonight. Praise God. Psalm 139, the psalmist is called a prayer of a believing heart, a psalm of David. He said, O Lord, search me and know me. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. The night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiosity wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yea, being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt say, slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they that speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies that take thy name in vain, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. So I count them mine enemies. Verse 23. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And we just said that God knows everything, didn't he? That God knows all the calculations of the sea, and wherever you go, God knows where you're at. He knows your thoughts. He knows all those things. Then he asked God, search me, know my heart. You know what? It ain't that the Lord don't know. You know what he is saying? Lord, turn the light on in me. Search me. Let the light be shown there that I could see me. That I could see, Lord, you at work in my life. Amen. I want the Lord to work in my soul. How about you? I want to live in the freedom of truth, truthfulness by the things of God. Let's pray together. Lord, help us tonight. God, I thank you for the liberty that you have, God, deep inside of our hearts. God, that you could come and you could deal with the matter of man's heart. We thank you today for the goodness of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for victory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. You may be seated. Dealing with matters hidden in the heart can be challenging. Man, it's hard to confess and talk to people and open up to people because mindsets today, people will judge you when you try to open up. There's people that whenever you tell them something in confidence today and you try to open up the door, conversation, to try to get them to help you, maybe you're battling something, maybe you're faced with something, maybe there's something that you have that is bugging you, bothering you. And when you open up to somebody, isn't it crazy that most people, you try to do it in confidence. But before you know it, the whole world knows about it. There's a lot of people who have that tendency. And when you go to them, they broadcast. And they're not safe people to go to. People that knows everything about everybody is a deceiving person. You hear me? And a person that always has the answer for everybody, every little problem, that is first to know about everything, that enjoys being that, is a person that deceives themselves. I don't like the bulletin type of person that, you know, that has it all. I mean, I'm around some that may be in the ministry, and it's like they know everything about every little person. I don't want to know everything about everybody else. But the thing about it is, it's not knowing about every little thing about Coley. It's knowing myself. It's examining this dude right here. And tonight, there is something that we want to talk about. Amen. That we want God to do the work right here. Before I could look at, try to evaluate, give everybody else an answer, and try to fix everybody else, I want the Lord to work on me that I can be saved, first of all, but that I can be better for him. I mean, wants to be better for Jesus Christ. Now, the psalmist talked about this. Talked about the omnipresence of God, presence of God, omniscience of God, omnipotence of God, and how God is able to know everything, see everything, and be everywhere, and has all power. I want that to operate in my life and be conscious that God sees it all. God knows it all. I got to let God have his way in my heart. I got to let him work on me that I could see me and not turn my head to things. Jeremiah in 17, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is. Look at your neighbor and say, your heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is the most deceitful thing in your life. The heart. And the Bible calls it desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Your heart. Don't trust your notions, your heart, by yourself. Let me just say this. I want the Lord's part in this. My heart by myself and my intuitions, and all my ways and all my notions. Man, I can't trust me. I need God involved in my life. I need to be sure in my soul. I need to be sure for the things of God. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12. For the word of God is quick. That word quick don't mean fast. It means alive. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any what? And I love what the word says here. Piercing even the divider asunder and spirit. And of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts. And what? Intents of the heart. God knows what's going on under your hood. He knows what's going on in your heart, your life. We got to have the word of God. The word of God will work. The word of God is the plan of God. This is the blueprint of God. This is the way of God. This is the will of God. But we need the word in operation. You can memorize the scriptures and be able to quote it. But are you able to follow the word of God? This is not just a map. Many people say, well, I got the map. But are you following the map? Are you applying the map? Amen. Oh, I got the compass. Are you in line with the compass? Are you in line with the way? Are you in line? Are you being led by the light of God's word? Thy word, Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Are you allowing yourself to follow those things? Do you give God a chance? Do you give God the opportunity in your life? Or is it that the only time you plug in is when you come to the house of God? Hear me. You're fooling yourself. And today I use an old story, and I've preached from this many times, and I use this illustration. And there was a king who was very wealthy. This king had a lot of things in his kingdom. He has a lot of power, a lot of riches. And juggling all the stuff from time to time, he would get a little anxious, get stressed out. He would get a little bit, you know, weary. But every time that he needed a fix, he would call for his court jester. You know what a jester is? Anybody knows what a jester on this side? Raise your hand. What is a jester? Got an answer? Say it a little bit louder. I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't hear you. Yeah, yes. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like a jokester or somebody that would amuse him. Wasn't necessarily a person that told jokes, but somebody always... You know, and David was called for Saul to minister to Saul. This man, every time he would come, I mean, he had that ability to take the gloom out of the face and the heart of the king. The king would laugh. The jester would get up and start talking to him. And pretty soon, you ever been around somebody that way? I mean, they could have you laughing. And I mean, time after time, the king found amusement in the eyes and the voice and the ways of this court jester. Many times he would be depressed working so hard and the light burning the candle at both ends that the queen would even call for the jester to make an appearance, surprise the king, and he would walk in and there he goes. He was able to lift the spirits and the mood of that king. So one day the king looked at this court jester and he looked at him and he said, you know, and let me see who he could be. I always like to use somebody's name at this point. Man, why don't we just say Carson? Carson gets blamed for everything. Carson, Why not it be Carson? He looked at him and said, Carson, you know, I'm holding a golden scepter, this big old thing that the king would hold in his hand, you know, the rod looking thing with the jewels and all that on it. He said, if you can find a bigger fool than you, I want you to give this to him. I mean, this thing's worth, and it means power. It means, a dynamic influence to have a king's scepter in your hand. So the court jester went throughout the whole kingdom. He went to Central Heights. He went to Appleby. He went to Douglas. Come on. He went to Woden. Yes, he did. Got lost in Kingtown, but he found his way back. Not only that, but he went North Street. He went South Street. He went, Douglas. He went also East Main. He ended up all the different places in Nacogdoches trying to find somebody that could have that ability. Yes, like he did. He couldn't find anybody. He went to Cushing, Mount Enterprise. He started going everywhere, shaking the bushes to see if he could find somebody. He couldn't. So finally, he comes back to the king, to the throne of the king. The king said, did you find somebody? And the jester said, yes, I did. The king said, why you still have the scepter? He said, well, I want to give it to him. And the king said, well, why didn't you give it to him? He said, I'm fixing to. And handed it to the king. You know what? He said, you're a bigger fool than I am because you're not ready to meet your God. Boy, what a little message there is today. Amen. I want to be ready to meet Jesus Christ. The greatest insurance you have in your life is that your heart is ready to meet God. Amen. The Bible says it's appointed that a man wants to die. Every one of us has an appointment with death, or else we have an appointment to meet God Almighty. The deal is your heart ready? Is your heart open? Amen. I don't want to die a fool. I don't want to die somebody, amen, that had plenty of time and plenty of opportunities to take care of things in my life, amen, but yet fail to take the time to let God. You're living at the finest hour to be something for Jesus Christ. Just don't be what you always have been. I know people that have been in church many years, and they've never grown a lick. They've never grown. They're still the same. They still perform the same little habits. They've never grown in their faith. Amen. And they may have a form, and they may have a fashion, but there's not a flow. Hear me today. Don't be an idiot and just sit up on your faith and say, oh, well, I'm okay. No, we ought to be ever growing and ever knowing Jesus Christ. We must be in progress here to be a good student of the Word of God. We don't graduate with God. It's a walking relationship, amen, and a joyful relationship to live for God. And the deal is, we got to live in the freedom and the liberty of the Holy Ghost. Philippians 4:7, I've read this multiple times the last several services. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Today we want to talk about something that is important in our hour. Many find it easier to survive behind a mask. There's a mask for every occasion, it seems. No matter how you feel, regardless of the truth, if you have become skilled at hiding behind your guard or your mask, you don't have to face all the hustles of life, all the different things of life. You could come and go, and still, deep inside, you could have all that and never have it fixed and never have it helped. What is lacking is a purity and an honesty that to let God have his way in our life. We can shield ourselves, not now, or we can pretend. Oh, I don't want to be a pretender. The Bible says we need to be a contender. Look at your neighbor. Said God's calling you to be a contender. A contender is somebody that will not take just as is for an answer, but to rise up and say, God, I want to be more for you. It reminds me of false fronts. You ever see these buildings that had a false front? A false front, I mean, when we think about that, we think about Western towns, how they would have it all fancy, but you walked around the side of the building, you realize it was a shack. With a nice false front. And I remember on I-20 in Dallas, there is a church that is in a shopping center. And that church in the shopping center, when you're driving, you look at it, whoo, it looks fancy, till you get next to it and you look and it's just a big false front to make it look that way, but really it's just an old metal building that probably was a Hobby Lobby. And they have put a little decor to make a false front. And I find a lot of people that have false fronts and they parade and they have that. Man, and it's crazy that even we went to, one time we were going to Colorado Springs and we stopped in Canyon, Texas, at the canyon. We went in and there was a drama there called the Texan. And our kids on our bus got an opportunity to make a tour of the backstage. And while we were touring that place, it's amazing how whenever they're doing their little deal that there's big old walls. And the next minute they're able to make it look like a front porch of an old house. And there were people that were professionals that were able to build what we call these sets, these settings, that in a matter of just a little bit, they could change it out. They had wheels on the bottom of these fake walls to make it look like a house. And it had a front porch on it. And you flip it around and it became a wall of a fort. All kind of things like that. And I can remember a man saying, walk up to it and hit it. We looked like stones. And some of the kids walked up, and when they hit it, they realized it was not stones. It was styrofoam that somebody had cut out, and they put a finish on it. And from a distance till you get right there, it looked real. It looked very real. You could take your hand and punch it. The chemical they had on it made it hard. But deep inside, it was styrofoam. Even buildings, they would take a building, and they put styrofoam and they put like a plaster or adobe on the outside of it. And they would paint it and dress it up and it looks like rock. It looks like a stone deal. But when a car ran through it, you found it was just big pieces of styrofoam in the wall. I want to tell you, God's not wanting us to be fakes. God wants us to be real with Him. Amen. I don't want to just have decorations. I don't want my holiness just to be a uniform or decoration. I want it to be true on the inside. Amen. There are those that have learned to fake it. They've learned to fake it and make it that way. There's learned those that have learned to cosmetic their life and make themselves appear like everything's okay. We talked about different masks. There's a mask that you could wear that says, I'm a tough mask, where you don't have to worry about admitting how weak and fragile you are and frightened you are. You got that tough mask. Then there's those that have the mask, I'm holy. And that mask, where you see these people that, you know, you never had to worry or bother with these people. They think about wondering if they're struggling spiritually because they got that, I'm holy, I'm okay mask. Then you got the one, I'm the coolest because I got it all together. You ever seen somebody with that mask on where they were the coolest? And the reason why is because they don't want you to know that they're vulnerable. They don't want to admit that there's some things that are shaky behind that mask. And then there's another mask that you see familiar. It's a front. Is I'm able to handle this pain and pressure. There's people that wear, you know, no tears, no frown. They've learned how to smile and everything is okay. You ask them how you, oh, I'm doing well. I'm fine. Oh, I'm doing good. But deep inside, they're crying, and they're afraid to admit, I need help. And, oh, friend, I want to tell you, there's some people that may use these different things. There's all kind of things that they have. It's called a front. They begin to wear these masks. What about those that are intellectual and scholarly that wear that mask? I'm so intelligent. That love to talk about their intelligence. But, friend, they have problems. It's just something to protect them from facing reality. All these masks wants to camouflage and hide something, the real thing on the inside. There's just one major difficulty in this mask-wearing game that so many are wearing today. The deal is, it isn't real. It isn't real. It forces one to skate rather than relate. Just skate away. Escape away. It promotes a phony baloney, doesn't it? that makes a good impression, an attitude of, well, you know, I'm okay, instead of being honest and real. I want to tell you, I love people that are real, don't you? I don't want to put on a show. I want to put the light out. Amen. I want the light to be not put out, but I want it to go out. Amen. I want the light to be placed in my life. I want it to be sent out. Amen. God has called us to be those that bear the light in this hour, not the one that begins to pretend. God wants you to be real. God wants the church to be real people. And it's amazing to watch those that had learned how to put their holy voice on. When we was in Bible college, it was funny because these old boys, I mean, they would act goofy. They act like junior high kids, juveniles. And it came their turn to preach. I mean, these boys wouldn't even pray. I mean, they'd get up late and they didn't read their Bible. And man, they never were in the prayer room. But when it was their turn to preach, boy, they were praying. You could hear them pacing and praying. And oh, man, you get in that chapel service and oh, they were praying. And when they got the microphone, whoa, man, they had that preacher voice and that holy sound up in their voice. Hey, I'm going to tell you, amen, I want to be real. How about you? I want it to be real. I just don't want it to be my job. I don't want it just to be a cloak. I don't want it just to be something, amen, that I have a pulpit mannerism. Oh, God, I want it to be in my everyday life. And as the same with you as a saint, God wants you to be real. God don't want you to be an ain't. God wants you to be real and genuine. Amen. Isn't it crazy? We hide the truth behind a veneer polish with a lot of high gloss. What happens is it just causes things to get worse when we hide the truthfulness behind different things. We become lonely instead of being understood. And we long for things that we don't get because we just become afraid and insecure. I'm afraid to ask somebody to pray for me because I'm battling something right now. When we need each other, the church don't need to be a dividing, backbiting thing. I mentioned the other day, the children of Israel dealt with the Canaanites and Amorites. Amen. And the church today deals with backbites and ain't rights. What we need more than ours is to let this become a safe place for the weary to come home, for the rejected to be here to be healed. Amen. But if we have it all just composed and we have our mask on and we come here, we think, oh, you know, oh, how dare they? Amen. Oh, and I thank that Jesus forgave me of my sins. And I can say, in such worse some of us, but we've been washed and we've been sanctified. But don't forget where you came from. And don't forget the man behind the mask. Amen. You know what happens is, a lot of these masks, we get good at wearing the mask. And it becomes part of, understand, the dual word makeup, our being. The hidden. We hide fear, pain, anger, insecurities, griefs. And you, anybody that's ever taken any kind of courses on counseling knows that people will have components deep inside their heart that they will hide and they don't want to be real. They don't want to be exposed on the inside that they're vulnerable. They don't want their vulnerability because it begins to make them real. And they rather live a lie than tackle the problem. I had the problem resolved. And many times through all the years, there's people that have hidden things deep inside their hearts, and that falseness has not bettered them, but bittered them, and they let things spring up on the inside. That is where we need the church of the living God, and we need the God today of the church. Amen. Dropping your guard, leaving some things, some hindrances and some things, amen, and that we open the closets of our hearts, that we get a good airing out. You know, I can remember as a kid, my mother's here, but I can remember her just about this time of the year where the things begin to change. My mother would open the windows on a good sunny day and air the house out. Many times we need to open up the windows and the doors and everything in God and let God air us out. Amen. You know what we need sometimes? We need to get to a place that we just fall down before God amen, and air it all out and say, God, I need your help. I need your spirit. Amen. Sometimes we need to be honest and admit, I need my brother. I need my sister. We've got to get to heaven together, folks. Come on. Amen. I'm preaching to real people tonight. Amen. I'm preaching to people that really need to get to heaven. Amen. To let God in. Let God behind your guard. Let God behind that fence. Let God behind those things. But living a closed life and playing a part only leads to higher fences and bigger fears. We let God in. We let his ministry in. You can live a lie. Cain, you remember in the Bible? Cain, I guess, was one of the first liars other than Satan. And when the Lord came to him and he said, where's your brother? Cain had murdered his brother. Cain replied, basically, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know. And from thenceforth, people started living lies. And lies sometimes are not necessarily somebody's telling a lie on somebody, but it's a lie, living a lie to impress people. Some seek to advance themselves by putting on a false front. They feel that it's going to make everybody look at them and admire them. I want to tell you, you know what I want? I want you to be yourself before God and before other people. That's what God wants. God wants you. He didn't die for something else. He didn't die for your mask. He died for your soul, for who you are. That's where we have to let the Holy Ghost in and for God to work on us. Some want to advance themselves, like academically or financially. You ever seen somebody that, I mean, they try to act like they had a lot of, you know, possessions? You ever seen that? You start letting, I mean, here's this, let's pick on the girls first. Here's a young girl. I mean, she gets one of those purses, real expensive purses, and they're called Louis something. Yeah, you got it. And here they are. They get this real expensive purse. And pretty soon they start carrying it. And they start feeling important. And pretty soon they were able to get a nice looking car. It's updated. And it's like, ooh, look what I got. And pretty soon that feeling is, man, I'm successful. I'm prospering. And I know a lot of people live from this to this and that. And they got to have things to impress everybody else. You ever seen people wear that kind of mask? That live that kind of, and they become stuck up. They become selective in their association. I don't want to associate with the Pirtles. I don't want to associate with the Richardsons. I drive. Look what I have. Look at the type of shoes I wear. You know, and you know, they become the type, and they get their nose in the air. If it rains, they'll drown. God wants you to be you. You know what I love about the Church of the Living God? Whosoever that walks in that church, the plan of God, whether you don't have two nickels to rub together or whether you have a bunch, God loves you. I think the church ought to be a church collected of all kinds of people. There ought to be people that love God with all their heart. What you don't have don't matter, but what you have inside does matter. Amen. That's all kind of things. The better than thou spirit. You know, the holier than thou. You have those. And we were somewhere not too long ago, and there was a young man that, I mean, he was a type, he didn't have much wisdom. And, I mean, he wanted to ax and 238 everybody. I mean, boy, we were doing something. I think we was on outreach, and this young man from a different place, I mean, he was very quick to try to get into debate with everybody. And I finally just pulled him and said, hey, man, you don't do that. I mean, you don't fish with an empty hook. You don't beat people to get them in the boat. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm going to tell you, you don't skin them to get them in the boat either. Amen. You let the wisdom of the Holy Ghost work in your life. But there are some people that walk around and they feel like, I mean, I've had Pentecostals that will look at people and look them up and down and say, you're going to hell. Well, you know what? If you don't tell them the truth, and the truth is not telling them that you're going to hell, the truth is, hey, have you ever read this in the Word of God? And you show them, you know, let me show you what the Word of God says. I know some people that are quickly to cut throats with people and quickly to, I mean, just blow people to pieces and not use wisdom. That's not what we do. God is not looking for somebody to walk around with a big old bat. The truth is not a baseball bat, but the truth is a gospel net that reaches out and pulls people. God, give us sense in this hour. Come on, we ought to be saying amen tonight. Amen. I want wisdom. I want wisdom to relate to people. Man, there's people that, I mean, they're good at shooting everybody else's lights out to make their light shine. Our spirit really matters, doesn't it? You know, God's feeling is this. You can tell a lie. That's bad. God hates lying. Look at your neighbor and say, God hates lying. But let me just say this. Living a lie is worse than just telling lies. Somebody say amen. Do you know where the word hypocrite comes from? The word hypocrite comes from the old era where they had theatrics and theaters. And it was a mask. It was a mask with a little stick on it. And the actor would when he had this mask on, he would talk in a certain way. Blessed. And then he would switch masks behind his back. Oh, thank you, sir. And switch. Oh, God is good. He would switch masks. That word hypocrite means two-faced. Multiple faces, basically. God is not looking for people with multiple faces. God's not looking for people that have pretension or pretending. Amen. That begin to act. God wants you to be real. God wants your action to be genuine. I want to be who God's called me to be. I can't be somebody else. God has called you and I to be who he brought us out of sin and placed on the rock to be. Somebody say amen. Amen. But we've got to better ourselves. We've got to seek to say, God, don't let me have a mask. Don't let me hide behind things. Open my heart. Let your word reach inside. Isn't it crazy? In the New Testament, the Lord lumps the liars with cowards, murderers, sorcerers, and a host of other things. And he proclaims their place to be the fiery lake at the end. And he punctuates the rest of the Bible as words, hates, detests, harbors. That's how God feels about dishonesty. But when we're dishonest with ourselves, and we're dishonest, you see, God knows everything. It was what we read in the scriptures a while ago. God knows everything. He's the one to create the winds. And Coley, he said, if I take the wings of the morning, if I went up to the heavens, if I made my bed in heaven, hey, everywhere I go, God's there. It talks about the great omnipotence of God, great power of God, the great omniscience of God, the all-knowing of God, and the great not presence of God. God is that everywhere. Then he says, the Lord, search my heart and know me. Try my thoughts. He wasn't telling God that God didn't know his heart. It's kind of like Adam and Eve in the garden. Brother Martin, when Adam and Eve sinned and their eyes were open and they realized that they were naked, they ran and hid. And the Lord came walking in the garden and he said, Adam, where art thou? I knew Adam and Eve were at. Come on. But he wanted Adam and Eve to know where they're at. Adam, where are you? Tonight in this place, where are you spiritually? Are you hiding? Are you looking for something to cover your life? You see, when they went and they took fig leaves, it did not cover them. Their masking did not cover their nakedness. It took the blood of an animal that the Lord had to slay, and he took the skins to cover Adam and Eve's sin. And I want to tell you, it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to wash you and cover you in your sin and transgression. After all, where does lies come from? Satan. And the Bible tags him as the father of lies. You know, telling the truth can be costly. But holding on to a lie always comes with its own set of far dire consequences. And that just keeps on domino affecting. But truthfulness, there's a power when you finally open the door and say, Lord, let me look at my heart. Things have been hiding. Let me go there with you. And let your searchlight be on that I can see me the way you see me. I'm glad that the Lord does see us through his eyes of grace, don't you? Are you thankful for grace tonight? Are you thankful for the goodness of the Lord? Amen. I want to live in freedom of truthfulness. Will you let God have his will? Will you let God point things about you to you? Let God turn that light on and say, look here. And that light's turned on. You see this right here? You need to handle that. You see that that's been in your heart for years? That's hindering you. Oh, I thought I had it handled. No, it's still driving you. Every time you see that individual, you still grit your teeth. You still flinch. You still ball your fist up. You won't let go of it. It still comes to your mind and you tell people about it every now and then. Oh, you're not over it. But I'm glad when the Lord finally points it out and the Lord lets you take it by the root, how beautiful it is when you uproot some things in your life and God gives you spiritual victory and liberty and freedom to live free from that. Amen. It's kind of like the person in closing. That they complain about the heavy chains. And the Lord says, you know, I died to set you free from those chains. I died to break those chains. And they're still grumbling and complaining, but I just can't quit some things. You know why they can't quit? The chains are not holding them, but they're holding to the chains. When you learn to let go of some things in your past, and you drop them and get away from the chains, amen. Who in the right mind would want to go live at the jail? Who in the right mind would want to stay and say, I want this to be my home? No, 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 no. If you go there like we do, you don't want to go there. I'm telling you, you don't want to live there. I mean, bed bugs and all. I want to be free. I want to live in the freedom and the joy of pleasing my God. I want his light to shine. Amen. Stand with me tonight. Drop the chains that are holding you. And be free and open before the Lord Jesus Christ and your brother and sister. Amen. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus tonight? Amen. Would you lift your hands and reach up to heaven with me right now? God, I thank you for the help that you have, the goodness of your spirit today. Just the way that you minister to us, God, that we could be free. Lord, you died for this. Lord, to set me free, to liberate me, that I could live in a greater light. God, that I could know you in a greater realm. God, I give you praise and I thank you tonight, Jesus. Oh, God, that I don't have to hide by some things more. God, that I could live, God, with a truthfulness in my life. I love and I praise you, Jesus. And I give you thanks tonight in Jesus' name. So when you see a brother and sister stumble, you see somebody that may not be clicking on all the cylinders. You know what you do? Encourage them. The church is not made to kick their brother and sister when they're down. Somebody say amen? Amen. The church is made to reach and to be a support. I'm thankful for the support system. I'm glad that if you have to go to the hospital tonight, the ER team, man, you walk in and this group, and this doctor's fighting against this doctor, and this nurse is against this nurse, and I mean, hand me a scalpel. No, I'm not doing it. No, they work together because they're in the life-caring, the life-saving, life-caring, the health business, even to helping somebody. You know what the church ought to be? The church ought to be a safe place, an intensive care unit. It ought to be a place for you to come and find healing and help in this old life that we're living in. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for the ministry of the church of the living God. Praise God. One more thing. Now see these teenagers? I mean, these teenagers, they hadn't been out there yet. A lot of them have not been too far outside the nest. Can I tell you? They're going to make mistakes. Well, if it's a graduate. Graduates, you're fixing to make mistakes. There's going to be things that you do. You're going to slip and fall. But it ain't you're flattening out. It's you're getting back up. But the last thing on earth We don't ever want to forget that we were once teenagers, that we made mistakes. Amen. Are you thankful that you passed that, some of you? Amen. Oh, you still make mistakes, but you're not a teenager anymore. But we're thankful. Be supportive to our youth. These kids need encouragement. How would you like to live as a teenager in their world? Come on, let's be encouraging to these children. Amen. Oh, I know they could be teenagers, but that's okay. We've got to teach them. We've got to lead them to heaven. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And let's go to heaven. How?
Together.
You're dismissed.